This is the eHealth Radio Network, your source for health advice on demand. And now your host, Eric Michaels.
Thanks for joining us once again here on the eHealth Radio Network. This is your host, Eric Michaels. eHealth Radio gives you the most current health information, news, and advice featuring some of the leading innovators in healthcare and wellness who are changing healthcare as we know it. For more eHealth Radio reports, we invite you to visit our main radio channel site at eHealthRadioNetwork.com. Today we're speaking with board-certified plastic surgeon Dr. Larry Schlesinger, MD, FACS, about why transaxillary breast augmentation using the Keller funnel is his preferred method for breast augmentation surgery. Dr. Schlesinger, a pleasure to have you with us today on eHealth Radio.
Thank you very much, Eric.
And you're most welcome. So tell us, for starters, who is a good candidate for the transaxillary breast augmentation using the Keller funnel?
Well, anyone that has a relatively normal breast, or correction, breasts, would be a great candidate for breast augmentation using the transaxillary incision and the Keller funnel. There are many abnormal breasts that create a necessity to make a separate route of entry, such as tuberous breasts, which are best dealt with by an incision around the areola, known as a periareolar incision. But most people who have relatively normal breasts would be great candidates for the transaxillary incision.
Also, if you would, could you tell us why you do prefer transaxillary incisions or incisions in the armpit when performing a breast augmentation?
One, it's in the armpit, and no one, not even your mother, has intentionally looked in your armpit, so it's a relatively hidden position. Number two, the armpit is, you know, the kind of part of the functional part of the shoulder. And when you lift your arm up in the air, put it to the side, put it down, you find that there's no tension on the skin of the armpit. It's made to be that way. Consequently, the less tension, the less scarring. Secondly, the thickness of the tissue in the armpit is very thin, and the thinner the dermis, or the thinner the area under the epithelium, the thinner the scar. So there's two really great reasons why you want to put your incisions in the armpit.
And certainly does make a lot of sense. How does recovery time for this procedure compare with other types of breast augmentation?
Because of the nature of the armpit and its the glands and so on in the armpit, and the fact that there's no tension in the armpit, which, by the way, those lines in the armpit are known as Langer's lines, and Langer's lines are specifically referred to as points on the body where there's little or no tension on those points. And almost any surgeon with reasonable surgical skills and technique can get a great result by following Langer's lines, or those lines in the armpit. Secondly, you want to make your incision in a place where you can get access to the subpectoral space, the most common, at least in this neck of the woods, the most common incision. It goes underneath the muscle, and the beauty of going through the armpit is that you're underneath the pectoralis muscle immediately. If you were to reach over with one hand or the other and grab the opposite armpit, your fingers are below the pectoralis muscle. It's kind of interesting. The anterior line, or the front of the armpit, is the pectoralis muscle. So the minute you grab it, you're underneath the muscle. This gives you access to the space in which most plastic surgeons today put their incision.
And thanks for those details today. We are with board-certified plastic surgeon Dr. Larry Schlesinger, MD, FACS, with more than 30 years of plastic surgery experience here on eHealth Radio's Plastic Surgery Information Channel, a part of the eHealth Radio Network. Continuing on, Dr. Schlesinger, does it improve aesthetic outcome for patients, and does this procedure cost more than other methods?
Well, actually, the aesthetics of the armpit are great because the scars are hidden. The highest point of the armpit is called the copula, just like the copula of the highest point in churches are same concept applies, that it's a hidden area where nobody can look, nobody sees unless you're at the beach with your arms up, which we rarely do. It's hidden, therefore it's very aesthetic. A breast augmentation that's done well, that's put in correctly, and that stays soft with no visible scar is basically a great breast augmentation. Secondly, I'm not quite sure about what other plastic surgeons do, but at least here in Hawaii, there is no difference between periareolar, which means around the brown part of the nipple, inframammary, which means in the incision is placed below the breast, or transaxillary. They're all charged, or they all cost approximately the same. I don't really know anybody who differentiates the price. Therefore, there's no extra price for transaxillary breast augmentations, and they're very well hidden.
Lastly, Dr. Schlesinger, why should patients choose a surgeon who offers killer funnel with breast augmentation? And give us your thoughts in these regards.
Well, that's a very large story. Let's see if we can get down to it. First of all, Dr. Keller was absolutely brilliant in figuring out this Keller funnel. I'm pretty sure, I don't know this for a fact, but I'm pretty sure he was watching his wife decorate a cake, and he saw her squeezing out the dough from a cake decorating funnel, and thought, I wonder if you can, by the nature of silicone, if you could squeeze a silicone implant down this Keller funnel, make it get smaller as it leaves the funnel and get bigger when it's inside the body. And I'm putting words in his mouth now, but that turned out to be an incredibly brilliant idea. Actually, more, as often happens, more brilliant than he knew it was. So the original Keller funnel concept was the idea of putting a larger implant into a smaller hole. And it's because of the nature of silicone, which can get smaller and then bigger once it's inside, allowed many of us to place implants of a larger diameter into a much smaller incision in the armpit, under the breast, or whichever way the plastic surgeon wants to put the implant in. What route of entry is not important. What's important is that the Keller funnel functioning, creating pressure on the silicone implant. And so that was, as I understand it, the very first concept that Dr. Keller came up with. But then over time, as many of us used it, a new concept came out, and I had the privilege of writing an article with several other plastic surgeons about the fact that the Keller funnel can decrease the chance of a hard breast. And that gets into a whole nother subject, which is both fascinating and to many plastic surgeons, it's kind of an enigma. It creates problems for us. And so the Keller funnel allows the surgeon to put the implant in through whichever route of entry he cares to do without touching the skin. Now, what's the difference if we touch the skin or don't touch the skin? Well, it turns out that on our skin, it is bacteria. Our skin is, in fact, covered. Every bit of skin that's exposed to the air is covered with a layer of bacteria that eats up our old skin cells, and we live with the bacteria. We've lived with it all our lives. And because it doesn't cause disease, i.e. pathology, it's called non-pathogenic bacteria. This non-pathogenic bacteria, if it gets inside of us, even though it doesn't cause disease, looks very much to our immune system like pathogenic bacteria. So our immune system will attack the non-pathogenic bacteria, and what our immune system can do is to wall it off. We don't have mechanisms for making it explode or anything else. We only are able to wall it off. And so the non-pathogenic bacteria, if it's on the implant, increases the chance of the implant getting walled off. And it's like taking a large balloon and holding it and squeezing it real tightly. And when you do that, the balloon feels harder. When you leave, you know, when there's no squeezing on it, it feels softer. And that's exactly what happens with breast implants. If you have a loose, not particularly firm envelope around an implant, we call them jiggly breasts that don't create any problems and look great. Unfortunately, if the capsule around the implant is squeezed on by our immune system, then what you get is rock hard breasts. You go from nice soft breasts to tennis balls on your chest or baseballs or something. And so the way to prevent that, or at least decrease the chance, is to never touch the skin, never bring any skin bacteria into the body when you put the implant into the body. So you can imagine an incision, let's use the armpit for instance, you can imagine an incision in the armpit and you're trying to squeeze a relatively large implant into a relatively small incision in the armpit, you're going to drag every bacteria in the world in. And no matter how much betadine you put on the skin, you're still dragging bacteria in. Now, it's not pathogenic, so it's not the kind of bacteria that's going to cause you, you know, pneumonia or any kind of skin disease or any kind of disease. But once it gets inside, it looks like bacteria, regular bad bacteria, pathogenic bacteria, to our immune system. Our immune system releases an immunoglobulin that goes to not only the breast implants, but goes to your artificial hip, your pacemaker, and any other non-self things that you have in the body, and it attacks them, and its only attack mechanism is to wall it off. So now what you have hard breasts, and I'll give you an example in one of our previous organisms that were on the earth before man was. An oyster gets a piece of sand in its shell, which is very irritating to its soft body. So its immune system releases a scar tissue, which surrounds that piece of sand, and then more scar tissue and more scar tissue. We call it a pearl, but it's nothing more than what happens inside your body when non-pathogenic bacteria gets inside. And since it's around an implant, which we want to stay soft, it will ultimately turn that nice soft implant into feeling like a rock hard tennis ball or whatever size the implant is. So the Keller funnel is absolutely brilliant. What it does, and this is apparently serendipity, what it does is it allows the surgeon to take the implant from the box, the sterile box that it comes in from the manufacturer, you tip it over, never touch it with your hands, and you've got brand new gloves on, your change gloves at this point, and you tip it over, get it into the Keller funnel, get it lined up correctly so you have the top and the bottom correctly. Then you go, in my case, since I go through the armpit, you go to the armpit, someone else holds a retractor in to open that entry point into the subpectoral space, and you squeeze it, and in the process of squeezing, it goes down the funnel, the implant gets smaller, and then gets bigger when it gets inside. So you're using the same concept of putting a big implant through a small incision, but also you never touch it, so it's a no-touch technique. You never touch it from the time it leaves the box to the time it gets inside. Now, what we do is we switch gloves again, and then you put your hand in without touching the skin, and you guarantee yourself and the patient that the back tab is sitting against the rib, so you know that it is correctly positioned anterior to posterior. And because it's a circle, it really doesn't matter what's up and what's not, because it's all the same. It's got a you know, it's got a radius that equals the same number all the way around the circle. So what you've done is you've put a breast implant in without touching the skin. And the most popular theory, which most of us subscribe to, is that non-pathogenic bacteria are the cause of many, many hard breasts through the concepts of capsular contracture, through the concepts of non-pathogenic bacteria getting inside of the immune system and so on and so on. So you see, the Keller funnel was brilliant. It was a way of getting a big implant in through a small incision, and it turns out it's a way of decreasing the chance of a capsular contracture, which at the end of the day is the most annoying bad side effect that you can have from a breast augmentation. So going through the armpit is aesthetic. Using the Keller funnel decreases the chance of hard breast, which is a really big problem in breast augmentation surgery. I hope that wasn't too complex.
Well, we can't thank you enough for being very thorough and giving us a lot of helpful information in these regards on the transaxillary breast augmentation procedure using the Keller funnel. Where can listeners, with your being in Hawaii, where can listeners get further information on your practice online, and how could one be in touch as well?
Well, basically, we have two main websites. We have the Breast Implant Center of Hawaii, and also we have the Mommy Makeover Hawaii. So Breast Implant Center of Hawaii and the Mommy Makeover Hawaii. And that's basically what I do. I basically do the post-pregnancy female rejuvenative surgery and the breast augmentations, which of course is part of the post-pregnancy rejuvenation.
Again, Dr. Schlesinger, thanks so much for your time and for joining us here today on eHealth Radio. Much appreciated.
Eric, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
And it certainly was our pleasure. We've been speaking with board-certified plastic surgeon Dr. Larry Schlesinger, MD, FACS, with more than 30 years of plastic surgery experience. And for further details online, visit Breast Implant Center of Hawaii. And again, this has been your host, Eric Michaels, and we do thank you for your continued support of the eHealth Radio Network. Join us again soon for another episode that will help further expand your knowledge on those things that are important to your health and wellness. For more eHealth Radio reports, we invite you to visit our main radio channel site at eHealthRadioNetwork.com. And as always, we thank you for tuning in.
Thanks for tuning in to the eHealth Radio Network. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit eHealthRadioNetwork.com.